God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. For the next few weeks, we are going to be entering a sermon series, which is also going to be connected with our Bible study series. We're going to go and look at the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament, and we're going to do it sort of section by section. If you haven't had a chance to read Jonah, please feel free to do so. It's not that long. We begin with Jonah chapter 1, the first three verses. And using the text of the NIV, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Rise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." This is our text. Now, as we take a look at this text, and we might ask ourselves, wait a minute, God has just called Jonah. And what was Jonah's response? Was to go the other way. And what kind of prophet would this be who refuses to extend God's kingdom and then tries to run away from God? I will admit some people have called Jonah to be self-centered. And then maybe have also used the word lazy, maybe even hypocritical. But the best description of Jonah is a Latin phrase. A Latin phrase that says, "Simo ustis et peccator," which means simultaneously saint or sinner and saint. Now, what is meant by this term, saint and sinner, or sinner and saint? Plain and simple, that we are sinners. And at the same time, we're also redeemed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is through his death and his resurrection that he broke the bonds that held us, the bonds of sin, death, and the devil. And so, as we believe and trust in Christ's death and resurrection upon the cross, we have the gift of eternal life. The life eternal. And in one essence, that describes the role of a saint. But just because we believe and trust in Jesus Christ does not necessarily mean that we're perfect anymore. We never were perfect. We never will be perfect while we're this side of heaven. Once we have that new spiritual glorified body, then we will be perfect. But while we're still on this side of heaven, we have that sinner within us. We are also saints. And in one essence, there is a struggle. And as a Christian, we should always be struggling against sin and not giving into it. From Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God tells us, he says through St. Paul, "God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So please note that Christ comes to us even in the midst of our sinful condition. Christ comes for sinners. And we are still sinners. But sinners who now believe and trust in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is what makes us a saint. So we can be a saint destined to eternal life in heaven above, at the same time also struggling with sin. Getting back to Jonah now. Jonah's being called by God, and he is still struggling with sin. He does not want to go to Nineveh. Now, I will admit, Jonah's response is not that of, say, of a typical child, maybe even a young two-year-old. Children at that age learn very quickly and how to articulate very well that famous word, no. However, Jonah's response is more like that of a teenager or maybe that of an adult. You know, the response that says, I'll just pretend I didn't hear you and just go and do my own way anyhow. Bottom line is, sometimes our sinful nature may get the best of us. We may be saying, but wait a minute, Pastor. Jonah should have known better. Jonah should have done the word of God. If Jonah is struggling with this concept of being a saint and a sinner, what hope is there for me? A very good question. Our hope is not necessarily in my ability to overcome sin, death, and the devil. My hope is in Christ's ability to overcome sin, death, and the devil. Needless to say, while I'm still breathing on earth, I am a sinner, and I am still your pastor, the one who's supposed to proclaim God's word and administer the sacrament. Don't sit there and judge the faith of the Christian church by my actions. You'll get a greatly distorted view. But judge it by Christ and his actions. Needless to say, this does not necessarily sit well with us. We expect our leaders to be perfect. We expect them to be without any blemish at all. And so we see Jonah and the mistake that he is making. And we're just sort of saying, how could God allow this? Why doesn't God do something? And God will do something. Have patience first. But it's probably something that you're not going to expect. Because very often when we start speaking out of our sinful nature here, we want a response. We want justice. And typically we have a couple things on our mind. We want some punishment here. Or maybe God should take the role of prophet away from him. But God doesn't work that way. And you should say, thank you, Jesus, for not working that way. Because think of it this way. How many of you, when you were growing up, were the perfect child? You never caused your parents any grief. You always did everything that they wanted you to do. You never were disobedient. And if you were disobedient, what were your parents' response? Did they toss you out of the family? Did they sacrifice you and kill you? No, fair enough, there might have been consequences for your actions, but not to the extent that we very often want consequences for our leaders. For those of you who are married, how many of you are the perfect spouse? Yet, does one mistake drive a couple to divorce court? Or even picture this. An employee who has been faithfully working at a company for many years arrives one day, 1 minute late. Is he fired? Usually not. So can we forgive our leaders? Can we show them the same level of forgiveness that Christ gives to us? Because Christ doesn't take our one immediate sin and say, well, let's yank that baptism away from him. Let's send the person to hell. No, Christ works a little bit different in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for not being the same way that I am toward other people. Because when someone crosses my path, my vengeance comes out. We want retribution. We want payback. Fortunately, God wants something else. What is God trying to do? Jesus is always trying to call us closer in a relationship with him. And sometimes he's going to have to wake us up a little bit and get our attention. He will also be doing that in Jonah. But the main goal here is to draw us back to him. Go to the insert for a moment. If you notice near the bottom of that insert, you have Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. And in the bold print it says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Now, let's unpack this for Jonah and for us. What Martin Luther is trying to remind us here is, A, number one, God is the one who calls us. He calls us into this faith relationship. Number two, God keeps us in this relationship. He is constantly drawing us back to him. Fair enough, he may use the events of the world or he may even cause some events, good teachable moment here, to occur to get our attention. Nothing wrong with that as long as the purpose is to draw us back to him. Now, getting back to Jonah. The purpose here is for Jonah to be taught that he is called by God. He has a task. He has a mission. He should do it. And in our church, we teach that God's word is God's word. It is the only source and rule and norm for faith. We also talk about how Scripture needs to interpret Scripture. Fair enough. When we take a look at all our theology, all that is revealed about God, we go first to God's word. We also have another set of documents called the Book of Concord, because in today's world, it seems like people can twist God's word to mean whatever it wants to say. So we have a set of documents that further explain this word of God, being as consistent as we possibly can with God's word. It's called the Book of Concord. And after the Bible passage at the top of our insert, we have a quote from the Augsburg Confession, Article 14. It says, concerning church government, it is taught that no one should publicly teach, preach, or administer the sacraments without a proper public call. While Jonah was not bound to this document notes that the call is important. Without the call, we would not have properly called pastors and teachers and other professional church workers in the church. And this call for us comes from God through the congregation, particularly done at the voters' assembly, is where you would call professional church workers. However, with Jonah, he did not have a voters' assembly. God called him directly. Please note that one does not wake up one morning and say, I think I want to be a pastor, or I think I should be a prophet and start preaching and teaching. No. For a pastor, one must meet the academic qualifications, usually a master's of divinity at one of our two seminaries, and must be approved by the faculty, undergo examinations, and finally is eligible to receive a call in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jonah, however, did not have to go through such things. Lucky him. He was called by God directly, much like we also are called by God in our Christian faith. We are called by God through baptism, and God continues to work His Holy Spirit in us so that we are constantly being drawn to Him. God now has a problem. He called a prophet. The prophet is now being a little disobedient. God calls us into relationship with Him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not like calling a pastor, but yet we're also disobedient in that relationship. How many times have we sinned and fallen short of the various callings that God has placed us in? How many times have we been that perfect parent, that perfect spouse, that perfect child, that perfect employee? Very often we realize very quickly, when we're not being judgmental, that we also have sinned. We have not measured up to the position that God has called us in. However, God does not take away our baptism because of our disobedience. Thank you, Jesus. But the Holy Spirit continues to call us. So how does the Holy Spirit continue to call us, to continue to grab our attention, to continue to bring us back into relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? For us, it is through the Holy Spirit, God's word, and His sacraments. For Jonah, God's going to get a little bit more creative now. For those of you who have read the account of Jonah, you know about the 3 days of Jonah spends in the belly of the fish, and how he goes to Nineveh, and then finally the aftermath of all that. God is going to use the particular instances of Jonah and his life to continue to draw Jonah's attention back to the Almighty God. God does the same thing with you. He's going to use the events of your life, the things that challenge you, to draw you back to Him, back to His call to you, that call to repentance, that call to receive Christ as Christ dies and offers Himself up for the forgiveness of your sins, and that call, like Jonah, to share that forgiveness, to share that mercy, and not being judgmental toward other people. We, like Jonah, we may want that initial call and be happy to be in God's grace, But do we want to go to Nineveh? Do we want to show God's grace and mercy to those people over there? We, in turn, like Jonah, often rebel against God when we don't share God's gift of grace with other people. However, God does not leave us alone. God continues to call us. Even though we may like to be like Jonah, trying to get away from God, but God tries to capture our attention also in creative means. With God's help, as he did with Jonah, we also know that we are sinners and saints, and God will guide us down a similar journey along with Jonah, so that even more will be called to Christ Jesus through God's Holy Spirit. God did not abandon Jonah, nor does he abandon us. God's plan is always to draw us closer to him. So in the next couple of weeks, as we start unpacking a little bit more about Jonah, we have to take a look at our own lives. How has God captured our attention? How has God used the things of this world to remind us that we are not alone, but that we need the love, we need the forgiveness that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this day we start our journey with Jonah, asking the Lord to bring us to the same conclusions. That yes, we have a God who loves us, who forgives us, a God who is there for us, a God who is always trying to beckon us closer to him, even in the midst of our squirming and struggling away from him. Thank you, Jesus, for being as persistent as you were with Jonah and being persistent with us in our own lives, because we, like Jonah, are also sinners, but because of Christ, we are saints. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.